You may be seated.
Our last case this morning is 13-403, State of Ohio versus Amber Limoli. For the appellant, Mr. Taylor.
Good morning, Your Honors. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. I think I'd like to mostly stand on my briefing. I did do a lot of briefing on this case, so I think I'll just stand on that. I'd like to focus on the central part of our argument, which is that under this court's decision in the Kaplowitz case, a reduction, an amendment of a criminal statute reducing the sentence for the offense does not apply to a pre-amendment offender if the amendment also alters or changes the nature of the offense. And that's what we have here. We have an amendment under prior law. The involvement of crack cocaine made it a heightened, aggravated offense. It raised the offense by a degree. It required mandatory prison. And under well-settled precedent of this court, when a particular fact increases the degree of the offense, or under the Allain case out of the U.S. Supreme Court now, if the additional fact requires a mandatory minimum sentence, in that case, it's an element of the offense. And what House Bill 86 did when it deleted the specific definition of crack cocaine, and when it deleted the separate ladder of greater degree offenses for crack cocaine, what the General Assembly did in House Bill 86 was delete an element and change the nature of the offense. And that's the basis of our argument.
So your argument basically is, because if a criminal statute steps things up in terms of penalty or nature of offense, it can't be applied to folks who committed the offense before the statute changed. Is that?
We have more than just changing the gradations of the offense. We also have changing the nature of the substance. And what the former law did was draw a distinct line between cocaine that is not crack cocaine and crack cocaine on the other hand. And for crack cocaine, that was an elevated, heightened offense drawing a higher degree. And our position is that it was therefore an element of the offense. And when you take that out, you've changed the nature of the offense.
But the theory you're advancing is you can't go up, and therefore you shouldn't be able to go down. Is that, am I understanding?
It really,
in terms of penalty.
The General Assembly could have said, and this is one of the arguments we're having back and forth in the briefing, is that I think the defense position is that Section 3 of House Bill 86 basically said crack defendants win. They get the lower sentence. And our position is all that Section 3 said was is that 1.58B applies. You have to apply that to determine whether defendants get the benefit of a reduced sentence under House Bill 86.
But the penalty is reduced, though, isn't it, Mr. Taylor?
The penalty is reduced, but the offense changes, too. And under Kaplowitz, basically you're comparing apples and oranges. You've got one offense where crack cocaine is an essential element.
So there was a specific finding required under the indictments in the past, am I correct?
Correct.
In other words, the substance involved was or was not crack cocaine. Isn't that
we had to prove crack cocaine beyond a reasonable doubt. We had to prove a weight in order to get to that third degree felony level. So
okay. Do you need to prove weight now?
Yes, there is a.
So that didn't change.
Well, the weight gradations have changed.
Okay, so the classification as to the degree of felony offense did change.
Yes, under the new law,
yes.
This defendant would face a fourth degree felony,
right.
Not a third degree felony as under prior law. But our position is
and
is
a lesser penalty.
Excuse me?
And a lesser penalty.
Necessarily a lesser penalty. There's no mandatory time under current law. There was under
prior
law for the F3.
There was mandatory under the former statute.
But our position is that the offense itself has changed, and then under the Kaplowitz case, When the offense changes, then the amendment reducing the sentence for the offense, you don't get the benefit of that under 1.58B.
But
the offense has to stay the same.
Doesn't the preamble to House Bill say that the General Assembly's intent is to try to reduce the prison population in the state? I forget how many, 52,000 or something in the penal system today. And wasn't the whole direction of House Bill 86 to try to reduce the number of people being incarcerated?
And I think that's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct. I think that's one of the purposes behind House Bill 86.
Well, aren't we supposed to give effect to the intent of the General Assembly then?
You can by applying it to new offenders. That will reduce the cost of imprisoning offenders. But the question here is whether 1.58B applies so
but,
as to allow this.
But doesn't 1.58 say the determining factor is whether or not the offender has or has not been sentenced?
There's several factors. I talk about how it has to reduce the penalty.
Yes.
The amendment has
but
to reduce the
penalty. We agreed that it is a reduced penalty.
It is, but it has to be the same. It has to reduce the penalty for the offense. And I think the 10th District was right when it said that in order to compare the penalty, the old penalty and the new penalty, you have to be looking at the same offense. If the offense changes, and I think this is the logic behind the Kaplowitz case, when you're changing the offense, it's apples and oranges to compare the old offense to the new reduced or lowered offense. And so under Kaplowitz, what Kaplowitz says is if the amendment not only reduces the penalty, but also changes or alters the nature of the offense, then you don't apply the reduced penalty because the offense itself has changed.
But doesn't this all start with 1.48, which talks about when law is supposed to be prospective? And then you look at 1.58, which talks about, okay, you can give a defendant a benefit of a lower penalty in these circumstances when the offense has been upped. And that's been normally what's happened. The General Assembly has increased penalty. So we've looked in the past on these cases to see if the defendant still will be able to get a benefit through the retroactive application. Isn't that what we're, or vice versa? Isn't that what we're talking about? It's as if, as Justice Pfeiffer was saying, you want to use it to the detriment of the defendant, but not to give the benefit that would accrue in this case.
Well, there's a lot of things going on in your question, but I think one of the...
Sorry.
There usually is.
Are you sure about that?
But I would say you've got two background principles. First of all, it's presumed not to be retroactive, so the amendments are presumed to be prospective only,
right.
i.e. apply only to new offenders after the effective date. 1.58A says the same thing. If you committed an old crime, pre-amendment crime, you get the pre-amendment penalty. 1.58B is a narrow exception to that, and it says if the amendment reduces the penalty for the offense, quote unquote, then if you haven't been sentenced yet, you get the benefit of the reduced sentence. And I think where the defense argument fails is that we're not talking about the same offense in this situation. We're talking about an altered offense. The old offense, an essential element of it was crack cocaine possession. We had to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. We had to prove there were different gradations as far as the amounts of crack cocaine, and we had to meet that standard too. And when the General Assembly deleted the crack cocaine definition and deleted the separate ladder of aggravated increased degree offenses for crack cocaine, it has seriously altered the nature of the offense. We no longer need to prove crack cocaine as specifically defined. We don't need to meet the old crack cocaine definitions, gradations as far
but
as
the
weight.
Same activity that occurred before, the same activity has not changed. Whatever the defendant did in the past, if he were being charged now, it would be at the felony 4 level rather than the felony 3 level, correct?
Factually it's stayed the same. Obviously, she possessed a little bit less than a golf ball size a ball of crack. And so 9 grams of crack under old law, you're an F3 and you get mandatory time. Under new law, it's just possession of cocaine. There's no difference between crack cocaine and powder cocaine.
There's no mandatory.
And there's no mandatory because it falls down to an F4. Yes. If you
Counsel,
just
the statute says, B, if the penalty, the forfeiture, or the punishment for any offense is reduced by a reenactment or amendment of a statute, and that's what we have here, right? The penalty, forfeiture, or punishment, if not already imposed, and it's not imposed in Ms. Limoli's case, shall be imposed according to the statute as amended. And I don't see where that says it's got to be an apple-to-apple statute. It just says for any offense, and the possession of crack, now the possession of cocaine, is an offense.
Well, I've mentioned Kaplowitz a few times, and let me just quote the syllabus of that because I think it really does support
Kaplowitz
our position.
Kaplowitz was prior to HB 86, correct?
That's correct, but it interpreted and applied 1.58B, and Section 3 says apply 1.58B. So it assumes that you're going to apply the judicial construction of 1.58B that has existed since Kaplowitz. And Kaplowitz says 1.58B does not apply to give a criminal defendant the benefit of a reduced sentence if, by applying it, the court alters the nature of the offense, including specifications to which the defendant pled guilty or of which he was found guilty. And so specifications are included, and the specification there wasn't an element so much as it affected the penalty. And even in that case, this court said it's a specification, it's relevant to the penalty, and we're not going to, since this would alter the nature of the offense, we're not going to apply the reduced sentence under new law. And we have the same thing here, but it's even a stronger argument under the Kaplowitz syllabus. We're talking about an element of the prior offense that's been deleted.
Would we have to overrule Kaplowitz, in your view, if we were to affirm this case?
I think you would, because what you would be saying is that if it reduced, if you eliminate an entire element or elements from the prior offense, and so now you've got a reduced penalty for an offense that's really quite a bit different from the prior offense, then you would have to overrule Kaplowitz, because that's what Kaplowitz is driving at, that when the offense changes, then the reduced penalty, it is apples to oranges.
Counsel, did the offense really change? Did the offense really change? Aren't we still talking about cocaine by different names?
Yes, it did change because the offense is defined by its elements. And the elements here under prior law was we had to prove crack cocaine beyond a reasonable doubt. We had to prove a specific weight beyond a reasonable doubt. Those things have changed. Doesn't matter whether it's crack anymore. We can just prove it's cocaine. And if you look for an example
But wasn't even since the time immemorial, crack cocaine has always been cocaine.
Yes, the base form of cocaine is part of the definition of cocaine, but in the prior law, it drew a line down through the penalty section between cocaine that is not crack cocaine and cocaine that is crack cocaine, and so the penalty section drew a distinction between crack cocaine and, let's say, powder cocaine.
And the question along that lines. How many people does this matter affect, other than the defendant here?
I would have to say there's probably, there may be some still in the pipeline of old offenders. I don't know. There's always testing that needs to be done.
Well, this was sentencing in 2011, and we're approaching 2014. Has this individual done the jail time yet?
No, she was given an appeal bond. I know we have a case that you've held called State versus Barkley, And so it affects at least one other person in Franklin County. So, and potentially,
Mr. Taylor, if I can go further than that, too, we also have held cases that don't necessarily involve cocaine. But, and so, if we follow your reasoning, you would, I think, want us to apply the if the elements have changed, you don't get the benefit to other things that might have changed in House Bill 86, theft, vandalism, some of the other crimes. Am I right?
Well, I think my
argument.
This
isn't just about this case, I guess, is what I'm saying. That the reasoning we use, whether to have the reduced penalty or not, is the same type of reasoning that we'll have to use in other scenarios that all arise out of House Bill 86.
I think it's important, not only for purposes of crack cocaine, but just generally, to reaffirm Kaplowitz. Reaffirm that it does have to be the same offense both before and after. You're changing the offense, the reduced penalty, is it reduced because it's a lesser offense than it was before? That's
Mr. Taylor, remind me, in Kaplowitz, was the language quoted by the chief just recently in 1.58B, was that discussed specifically in Kaplowitz? The language that seems to be very clear about a penalty reduction should be allowed to give a benefit to the defense.
I can't remember if they exactly quoted
so verbatim 1.58B. So it may well be that we can distinguish Kaplowitz.
Kaplowitz was definitely looking at 1.58B and applying it. The syllabus is talking about 1.58B, so you would have to rework Kaplowitz or change it in some way in order to let the defendant prevail here. And I think I've more than used my time, and thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Belli.
Thank you. May it please the Chief Justice and this honorable court, my name is Dennis Belli, and I represent the appellee, Amber Lamoli. And frequently representing criminal defendants, I have to resist the temptation to urge reversal. My client is asking this court to affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals because we submit that it's logically reasoned and follows accepted principles of statutory construction of this court. The starting point, I think, is Section 3 of HB 86, which states that defendant who committed a crime before the law went into effect, is sentenced thereafter, the court should apply Section 1.58B of the revised code. And as has been discussed, that statute is crystal clear. If the penalty for an offense is reduced before the defendant is sentenced, he or she is entitled to the benefit
provided
of the
reduced. It's the same offense.
That's right, and that's where the
that's where the rub here is, that we don't have the same offense. We've got the original offense, which relates to crack and the subsequent penalties, and now we have a different offense. Elements are different. It still references or it still deals with cocaine, but you know, all crack is cocaine, but not all cocaine is crack, and that's why we had that distinction previously, but now the legislature has eliminated that distinction. So you would agree it's a different it's a different crime, different offense.
No, I disagree with that proposition.
Why is it not?
Because one must start with the statutory language. Section C4 of 2925.11, the possession statute, consists of two sentences. The first sentence states, and I quote, if the drug involved in the violation is cocaine or a compound, mixture, preparation, or substance containing cocaine, whoever violates Division A of this division is guilty of trafficking in cocaine. Now, crack cocaine certainly is, as Justice O'Neill indicated, cocaine. It's a substance containing cocaine, so clearly, under that statutory language, the offense is not possession of crack cocaine. The offense is possession of cocaine, regardless of whether one possesses the powder form of cocaine or the crack form of cocaine. That's the statutory language, and the prosecutor has not offered any explanation for why that language should be disregarded by this court.
But counsel, wouldn't your friend on the other side say the argument is that the elements are now different, that what they had to prove at trial before is different from what they have to prove now?
And we would submit that this court's decisions in Chandler from 2006 and Jackson from, I believe it's 2012, point in a different direction.
Would you address Kaplowitz and let us know your position on whether that would have to be discussed if we were to affirm?
The Kaplowitz decision is easily distinguishable. The offense involved vehicular assault. And at the time of the commission of the offense, the crime was defined as recklessly causing harm to another by means of a motor vehicle. However, there was a specification that stated that, and it was a fourth-degree felony, there was a specification that stated if you're under the influence of alcohol, or I think there was driving under suspension also, it would increase the penalties, but not the degree of the offense. At the time that Mr. Kaplowitz was sentenced, the statute was revamped considerably. The amendment established two forms of vehicular assault. One, simply recklessly causing harm to another. The other, causing harm to another with a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol. And with respect to that second form, while under the influence of alcohol, it actually, the legislature elevated the offense from an F4 to a third degree felony. So the defendant in that case wanted to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted to be sentenced as a fourth degree felony offender, but he didn't want the third degree felony designation and the corresponding penalties for that. And I don't disagree with this, what the court ultimately ruled in that case, because it truly wasn't the same offense after the legislature did this whole scale revision of the statute. But that's not what we have here. And I'd like to pose the following hypothetical to the court. Suppose that the General Assembly here, Ms. Lamoli possessed 9 grams of crack cocaine. And under the old law, between 5 and 10 grams of crack cocaine, the offense was a third degree felony, mandatory imprisonment. Under the HB 86 revisions, possession of between 5 and 10 grams of cocaine is a fourth degree felony. Now suppose that the legislature decided to be redundant and kept the old structure and said anyone who possesses between 5 and 10 grams of crack cocaine, it's a fourth degree felony. Anyone who possesses between 5 and 10 grams of cocaine that is not crack cocaine, again, it's a fourth degree felony, and the penalties are the same. Then we'd criticize the General Assembly for not being very economical with its language, but if they did that, the prosecutor would have absolutely no argument to make to this court, because clearly when the legislature says possession of between 5 and 10 grams of crack cocaine is a third degree felony prior to HB 86, but now under HB 86, possession of 5 to 10 grams of crack cocaine is a fourth degree felony, penalties reduced, you know, it's, and so basically the legislature just was a little more economical with the language, but accomplished the same result. So for those reasons.
Speaking of being economical, I think from your opposing counsel, I'm up to now two people that this case applies to. Is your client, what happened on the motion to suppress?
Well, the motion to suppress, the trial court's ruling was vacated and remanded because the Court of Appeals concluded that the trial judge failed to apply the totality of the circumstances test to determine whether Ms. Lamoli.
So where's that motion now?
It's in abeyance. There's no activity in the trial court at this time. I believe, in fact, the common pleas judge he either entered an order or just assumed that nothing should take place until this court rules on this issue. And yeah, you might, that might not be an economical use of judicial resources, but that's what happened.
I think I may disagree with that, because we do have at least one other case that is on hold, State v. Taylor.
That's true.
We've got in front of us, which is not a cocaine case, it's a theft case. So here, my concern is how whatever reasoning we use in this case can be applied, whether it's to cases on hold or other cases. And what I hear you saying is you can distinguish what happened here with cocaine from Kaplowitz, but what about those other crimes? I mean, HB 86 made changes to other offenses, theft, vandalism, corrupt activity come to mind immediately. Is there something unique about the cocaine changes that this would have a limited effect on future precedent, and is such a unique position or situation that we wouldn't apply the same type of reasoning in those with respect to these other offenses?
I understand your question, and you're probably right. It could have ramifications beyond cocaine, but yet I hear no prosecutor, not even the Franklin County prosecutor, taking the position that people convicted of theft who possessed or stole property of a certain value, that if the degree of the crime was lowered because of a change in the scale of dollar values of the theft, that they wouldn't be entitled to the benefit of the reduced penalties. So it's really
And read the Taylor case, because that's what they argued.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. Well, my understanding of that case was that they were saying that, at least the prosecutor was maintaining that the defendant was entitled to the benefit of the reduced penalties under 1.58B, but still would have to be classified under the higher degree felony. And so I don't think that the prosecutor in that case disagrees with
a lesser penalty imposition.
The lesser penalty, and probably that only makes a difference to somebody who's looking at the difference between a felony and a misdemeanor because of the collateral consequences. Now, you know, as far as Ms. Lamoli, the difference between a third-degree felony or a fourth-degree felony is not very consequential because it is a felony. But however, the penalty is definitely consequential because as an F3 offender, she automatically goes to prison. And as an F4 offender, under the way the law is written, there's a presumption that she's entitled to community
control. So if we agree with your position, what do we write here?
That affirm the...
that's the judgment we can make. We can affirm. But what do we write? What do we tell the judges, and what do we tell the prosecutors and the defense bar?
That there was no change in the nature of the offense here, and therefore 1.58B applies in a straightforward fashion. Same offense, lower penalty, the defendant is sentenced after the reductions went into effect, and so she's entitled to that benefit.
So you're saying that the fact that the prosecutor has less to prove, because that was an argument that was made, that there are certain things that no longer need to be proven by the state, does not change the nature of the offense?
It does not. I think you know, there's the U.S. Supreme Court Apprendi line of cases that state that the jury must determine any aggravating facts that elevate a penalty. But we submit that it's an apples and oranges comparison because we're dealing with a state statute and principles of statutory construction. I don't believe that these constitutional issues enter into play at all in deciding how to construe the state statute. And I would also point out that the U.S. Supreme Court in Dorsey versus the United States rendered a decision that's essentially consistent with what the Court of Appeals did there, and the Dorsey opinion does not raise these questions regarding elements of the offense. The Supreme Court actually, the U.S. Supreme Court was dealing with a statutory scheme where there is in the federal law, there is nothing like 1.58B that gives the defendant the presumption of the entitlement to a lower sentence. The court there had to look at everything that was going on in Congress when they passed the penalty reductions and decided that Congress intended that offenders who commit their offense under the old 100-to-1 crack cocaine ratio under federal law are entitled to the benefit of the reductions under the Federal Fair Sentencing Act.
Would you agree that the nature of the offense has changed or not?
No, I disagree with that.
Okay, so there's no alteration of the nature of the offense, including specifications. Would you agree that there's an alteration of the specifications here?
There are no specifications under the possession.
Under the new?
Or under the old. There were no specifications. I think, well, possessing or trafficking in cocaine in the vicinity of a school, that would be a specification. But
right.
No, the enhanced penalties for crack cocaine were not specifications. That would go back to the second sentence of C4 of 292511, which states that the penalty for the offense shall be, and that would be possession of cocaine, shall be determined as follows. And then there was the schedule of various penalties for cocaine that is crack cocaine versus cocaine that is not crack cocaine.
And so the joinder of crack cocaine with cocaine, and it's all being under the label of cocaine now in HB 86 statute, you're saying does not alter the nature of the offense?
No, because under pre-HB 86 law, possession of crack cocaine or trafficking of crack cocaine, that conduct was trafficking in cocaine or possession of cocaine. It was never known as trafficking or possession in crack cocaine.
Didn't there need to be a finding by the jury that it was in fact crack? Because as Mr. Taylor points out, the state had a burden to prove that it was. So the jury had to make a finding, right?
Right. And
so there was a finding by a jury as to the nature of what the substance was.
That's true.
And if an expert came in for the defense and said this wasn't crack, this was cocaine, that would have made a difference.
Not under a couple of Court of Appeals decisions that are cited in our brief. Marshall from the 4th District, and then there's another case from the 5th
District.
But
there was a distinction. If somebody's being charged with the possession of crack, and the evidence at trial and the jury finds that it was cocaine and not crack, are they going to be found guilty of possession of crack cocaine?
No, they'd be found guilty of possession of cocaine.
Which is a different offense.
It would not be, because C4 only defines one offense, possession of cocaine, and in the situation that you've indicated, and that's dealt
but
with.
But the penalties are different.
Correct, and the court would have to, the sentencing court would have to say, defendant found guilty of possession of cocaine, however, the penalty will be for cocaine that is not crack cocaine.
And in part, this led to the change in the law because there was that disparate treatment. We were talking about cocaine, and it was the form of the cocaine that led to the difference in penalty level, correct?
That's true. Yeah, and one other interesting aspect of this, the definition of cocaine and crack cocaine, under the old law, one could possess cocaine that was not what we consider crack cocaine, cocaine base, but if it looked like pebbles or rocks for individual use, it would be treated as crack cocaine. So even under the old law, crack cocaine was not really crack cocaine, So what would we do with those type of offenders, sentenced under the prosecutor's theory here? I think the ultimate result here is fairly simple. If one just applies the statutes to the language, or 1.58B, to the possession statute as it's written, in particular the language that was maintained from the old law that possession of any form of cocaine is possession of cocaine.
Thank you. Counsel, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll just make a couple points. I think, first off, Kaplowitz is saying that a mere specification that's not an element, but that's relevant to penalty, changes. If you change that, you change the nature of the offense. So if a mere specification if a change in regard to that is enough to change the nature of the offense, how can a change or a deletion of an element not also be a change in the nature of the offense? If you're changing an actual element of the offense, it has to change the nature of the offense. And the final question I would ask is if we go to trial on this, how do we instruct the jury? Do we instruct them that they only need to find cocaine, or do we instruct them that they need to find crack cocaine as it's indicted? And I think the answer to that is that it's indicted as a crack cocaine case with an essential element being crack cocaine. If you're deleting that element from the jury instructions or from the indictment,
no, you're not
changing
deleting
the nature
it. You're not
of the
deleting
offense.
It. You still have to prove it's crack cocaine. Is just that crack cocaine declaration or finding is under the same penalty and umbrella as powdered cocaine. Cocaine, crack, or pure cocaine is just cocaine.
But what you're saying is that the offense has changed so that whether it's crack or not doesn't matter.
Well, that's what the opposing counsel is saying, that it doesn't matter whether it's crack or whether it's cocaine under HB 86, that and there's no change in the elements because it's all, they're interchangeable. I guess that's the position.
And I think my response would be, Your Honor, that you're making us prove an element that's no longer an element, and in order to get the punishment we want. And so under the new law, because under the new law, it doesn't need to be crack cocaine. And so you're definitely changing the nature of the offense.
That punishment you are asking for is not available under the new law, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
But in order to get to the F4 level that would apply under the new law, we would have to prove it's cocaine. We wouldn't need to prove it's crack cocaine. And so
Isn't that because the legislature in 86 decided that cocaine is cocaine? Isn't that really what the new law says?
The General Assembly, for whatever reason, has equalized the penalties. I think, but what it also said is that you apply 1.58B. That's crystal clear. It's fully incorporated into Section 3. You apply 1.58B to decide whether the pre-amendment offenders, who don't have any right to a reduced sentence, it's a matter of 1.58B. And so that's what the General Assembly has said for whatever reason, whether it's reducing costs or they just wanted to equalize things.
So the answer is yes.
The General Assembly obviously wanted to equalize the penalties and deleted an element of a prior offense in order to
get. You can't use that word, yes?
I think I said yes. They decided to equalize
yes,
the penalties.
Did. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. We would ask that the court reverse the 10th District's judgment as to sentencing and remand the case to the Common Pleas Court to reinstate the one-year mandatory sentence.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. So, Marshall, will you please adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.